Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Grant and Jimmy podcast. Here's Grant and Jimmy.
Out of all the movie props that I would like to have in my collection, I'm not sure this is one of them. But somebody just spent $700,000 to buy the piece of wood that Rose floated on after the Titanic sunk.
When she was heartless and let poor Jack die.
Yeah, they said it's not a door, by the way. Everyone thinks it's a door. It's actually a chunk of the door frame. So they wanted to clear that up. But it was a part of this auction of props that was previously on display at Planet Hollywood. I guess they're getting rid of all of them. Some of the other things were Indiana Jones's whip from the Temple of Doom. The axe from The Shining was one of them. That's kind of a cool prop. But yeah, like I said, I wouldn't buy the Titanic. Like, I don't care to buy this piece of wood. But if I did, immediately, I would put it in water and see if we could put two people on it. That would be the first thing I did. You get the actual piece of wood? Oh, yeah. We're testing that out.
Yeah.
See, she could have fit him on there. She let him die. She let him die. So I thought, yeah, movie props that maybe you would spend money on. What is worth your money to you to have in your collections? For me, it was, there's a lot of things I could think of. One of the things I was like, oh, maybe McLovin's ID from Superbad would be a fun one. But
yeah, well, the dude abides.
I got to go with the dude's sweater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be so... You would wear it, though.
Oh, yeah. There's no way I wouldn't wear it. You have to wear that. It's a conversation starter. It really ties the room together. Jimmy, what about you?
I'm kind of struggling between two different lightsabers. I know. I'd either go with the original lightsaber from Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
So Anakin's lightsaber. Or Luke's from Return of the Jedi.
Okay. So... two different lightsabers.
Yes.
Don't you have enough already?
I actually have like a replica of Anakin's / Luke's lightsaber, but it is not an original prop. It cost me like $500. But
I'm curious, what movie prop would you like?
Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
We're talking about the movie props you'd like to own. The chunk of wood that Rose floated on at the end of the Titanic went for sale, and it sold for $700,000. All right. That's not for me, but somebody wants it. Zane said he's going big. He wants the General Lee. Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, but you know how many cars they went through for that TV show.
Oh yeah, you're not getting the original one, I don't think.
No,
but you could probably find one
so
of them.
Any of them.
The thing about that, I said to Zane, is it'd be hard not to drive it like they do in the Dukes of Hazzard, launching it over rivers and stuff.
I don't think a car could do that. Hit a pot.
Oh, you'd have to try it. You'd have to try.
Jump over a river.
I've seen a lot of these like replicas of the General Lee. You see him at car shows all the time. And one time there was a meeting, like a group of people that got together with their classic cars at the Wendy's in Millwoods. And somebody had the General Lee, and then somebody was driving behind them with the, what's his name? The cop car.
Oh, Roscoe.
Yeah, Roscoe's car. He had his, so they had the duel there. It was pretty funny. So yeah, we had that one. We had another car, Eleanor from Gone in 60 Seconds before he crashed. It came in. And we also had the truck from Maximum Overdrive with the goblin on it. Yeah. Pretty cool.
This is a Short Minute with Jimmy.
So your weekend has filled up pretty fast, Jimmy. Hey.
Yes. On Sunday, I'm doing something kind of unique. Not for me. It's for, you wouldn't normally do this either. I'm actually stripping for a birthday. For a birthday party for an 80-year-old woman. And on top of that, are you sitting down? I'm doing it in a Chinese food restaurant.
So, I don't know what your Easter plans are. Maybe you're going to go see family, get away for the long weekend. Jimmy is going to go to a Chinese food restaurant and get naked in that restaurant for the birthday of an 80-year-old woman.
I'm only going to my Speedo. I said I'm not going to do my G-string in a restaurant.
Is she going to be okay? Like, you don't want to kill her. I know you've done this before for other 80-year-olds. Wade's mom, you stripped for her. And she survived it, but
she was a little dicey. So hard she was choking, but she was also smoking at the same time.
This could be a niche market for you. Like, your stripper market has kind of dried up, right? You're not getting any gigs anymore. You haven't had a bachelor or bachelorette party in many, many years.
No, I did. I did a bachelor.
It's been a long time.
Last summer.
It's been a long time. That market has dried up. I think you go with the senior citizen market now. You're 50. You're older. I think this is the move for you. Seniors homes.
Okay. Go to this seniors
bingo
home.
Night.
Go to the seniors home. Hey, who has a birthday today?
Ethel wants to spend her bingo winnings on you. Put that in your Speedo.
But the best part is, I said to the person that hired me, I go, does the restaurant know that you're bringing in a little person stripper?
That's probably,
And she goes, it was their idea. And I'm like,
well, maybe you could get a full-time gig there.
Because that's really awkward. You know, when you start taking your clothes off and there's kids running around. And it's on the lounge side.
Okay. Maybe they'll hire you full-time. Hey, come in for some chicken fried rice and Jimmy will strip for you.
Cruise FM.
We talked about this story last week where the two guys from Manitoba had been switched at birth and they lived the wrong life for like 70 some years. Yeah. You know that one?
Yeah.
And they found out that they were living a lie because one of them did a 23andMe. You know, the at-home DNA testing kit.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, no, you're not indigenous. You're Ukrainian. Legitimately, that's what happened. And he was like, what? And that's how they tracked it down. There's another story about one of those 23andMe kits that has gone viral. And this one is equally as crazy, to me, if you ask me. So this woman, she's from BC, and she'd spent her life trying to track down her biological father. Her mother had never really told her who he was, and so she was trying to find out who he was since she was 15 years old. Finally, she got her hands on a 23andMe, and with the help of some other people, she was able to find out who her real dad was. Unfortunately for her, he'd already passed away a few years before, so she wasn't able to meet him. But here's where the story gets crazy, Jimmy. Through this 23andMe, she also found out she has a half-sister. Which is cool. I'm like, oh, I have a half-sister. That half-sister just happened to be the woman who she had been best friends with for the last 20 years.
Seriously?
Imagine that. She doesn't know who her dad is, spends her whole life trying to track him down, finally tracks him down, finds out that not only, okay, this is who my dad is, my best friend is actually my sister.
So she knew her dad then?
No, she didn't. She found out who he was eventually.
No, but it's just, so if her friend is her sister, her best friend was her sister, and they've been friends for years, she probably even met her dad.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Isn't that wild? Imagine. Imagine that.
I'm not doing 23andMe. I don't want to find out if you're my brother.
I don't think we are.
Okay.
I'm not a little person.
My family aren't little people either.
I thought they all were.
No.
Well, I don't like corn that much then.
Grant Report, brought to you by iFurniture. Better, cheaper, smarter. Visit iFurniture.ca. Now, Grant Judson.
I love that there's a doctor out there called Dr. Killjoy. It's his nickname. Dr. Andrew Kelso is his actual name, but he's known as Dr. Killjoy or Dr. No Fun because he's always speaking out, telling people to cut down on drinking and cut down on sugar and all that fun stuff. The latest one, he's put out a warning telling people not to eat all their Easter candy this weekend in one session. says it's terrible for you. It's terrible for your teeth and your sugars and everything else. Why do we have chocolate for Easter? Does anybody know? I know the Easter Bunny leaves it, but has anybody thought, why is the Easter Bunny breaking into my home and leaving chocolate all over the place? Was it just a way to get people more hyped up about Easter? Like, were there people in a boardroom like, hey, nobody really, kids don't care about Easter. We need to do something to get them hooked. And they're like, chocolate! Give them chocolate! Lots of it! My kids get so stoked for Easter. They've been counting down to Easter. I don't think they would if there was no chocolate. Would they be stoked to get up Easter Sunday if there was no giant Easter bunnies? You know, Santa gives you presents. Tooth Fairy gives you money. Easter Bunny gives you chocolate. Cupid really needs to step his game up.
This is a short minute with Jimmy.
All right, Jimmy. So, you want to tell us why chocolate is on Easter?
Yeah. So what it is, actually, originally it wasn't chocolate. It was eggs. So eggs represent new life and rebirth. And that's, you know, what?
That's the tie-in to Easter.
That's the tie-in to Easter. But in the medieval times, you weren't allowed to eat eggs at all during Lent. So 40 days and 40 nights before Easter.
You couldn't eat eggs?
You couldn't eat eggs at all because they're a symbol of new life and rebirth.
Okay.
So
you had to give up eggs.
So you had to give up eggs. And then why chocolate is in 1873.
Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
No, that's 1492. So in 1873, this company, Fry and Sons, produced the first chocolate eggs.
Okay.
Hollow eggs that you put, treats in for kids or whatever. And then Cadbury started creating their eggs. So isn't chocolate, it's eggs. And then the other chocolate stuff, bunnies, because bunnies are also a symbol of procreation because, you know, they have lots of bunnies. But yeah, so that is it. It's eggs is a symbol of Easter.
This has been an Easter reflection with James P. White.
The all-new Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
If you want to be an actor, here's your shot. They have an open casting call in Calgary right now for a series that they're filming for Netflix. So it's a show called The Abandons, and it's a Western set in the 1850s, and they say they are looking for authentic looks to join the show. Unique character faces, blue-collar workers, ranchers, butchers, amputees.
I'm a shoo-in for this because this series actually has Lena Headey. So she
is she
was
in this one?
Yes. So she played Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones. So she's used to working with little people. I'd be perfect.
True.
And I'm right close.
Because I saw Gillian Anderson is in it. She is from The X-Files. She dealt with some weird stuff on The X-Files too. So
are you calling me weird?
Different is the word I'm calling you. April 6th is the open casting call at the old Hilton Hotel in Calgary.
Oh, wow.
So you need to hitchhike to Calgary, Jimmy, to get on this show. I thought we would practice some acting skills here from you because you're a little bit of a rough around the edges when it comes to your acting. So
no, I think I got this.
We have some famous cowboy lines for you to read. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Cowboy is a breed tougher than nails and strong as steel.
Sounds like a Chevy ad. Next one.
As welcome as a rattlesnake at a square dance.
All right. Partner.
By hook or by crook, by any means necessary.
And one more.
It don't take a very big person to carry a grudge.
Yeah, I think you're a shoo-in.
I've got this. Yeah. I don't even have to go. I just have to send my...
Just send this tape in, and I'm sure you'll make it.
Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy.
Here you go, Jimmy. I think I finally found a drink that you might love more than beer. 7-Eleven is releasing hot dog-flavored sparkling water.
Why would I like this?
Because you love hot dogs, and every time you make hot dogs, you boil them, you keep the water, because you say that's where all the nutrients go when you boil them, and then you put them in ice cubes, and you put them in your drinks, or you just make popsicles out of them. You
do that every summer. I don't do that with hot dog water. I do that with vegetable water.
You do that. You have, you make hot dog water soup all the time.
I did that once, because you guys put me on the list for our office potluck that I had to bring hot dog soup.
So 7-Eleven's partnering with a new company to come out with this line of sparkling water. Most of the flavors are like lemon lime, green apple, sweet orange, and then there's this hot dog one. Obviously, some people say it's got to be an early April Fool's Day prank, but I know people, not to name any names, who shop at, do their grocery shopping at 7-Eleven. That will be interested in a hot dog flavored sparkling water. Just imagine you're like on a run and you really need a glass of water, and then somebody gives you hot dog flavored water. I'm going to be sick.
That's the end of our podcast, Jimmy.
You can listen to our show tomorrow.
Catch us live every morning on 95.7 Cruise FM.